right. Gotta have that. See, I told you. That's where you get Homer sapiens from, but I get this question a lot. How do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Maybe that's why you wanted to stick around afterwards to figure out, how do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? I got bad news for you. We don't fit dinosaurs into the Bible. I know if you're disappointed, you can get up and leave. But here's what happens. People like to say, well, this is what I think about this and this and this. Let's see if we can fit that into the Bible. You know, we're not going to try to do that. We're going to start with the Word of God as the authority and let the Word of God explain about what things that we see. So we don't try to fit dinosaurs into the Bible. We are going to use the Bible to explain dinosaurs. What a novel idea. Well, that's what we're going to do. So, if you didn't catch it in the morning, just make sure you understand what the real history of the universe is, that, you know, God didn't need to make billions of years to create an earth, right? He made an earth where we could live forever with no death and no suffering. What happened? Well, Adam sinned, and that's why we live in a world where there's death and suffering, and we need a Savior. And then God killed everything in a global flood because sin was so bad. And then after that, people didn't obey God. They stayed in one place, so God confused the languages of family groups. They spread out all over, and then Jesus Christ became a baby. Why? So he could be our perfect substitute. And then if you've trusted in him, when he comes back, he's going to restore us back to much like it was at the beginning, you know, where there's perfect fellowship with God and no death. That's the real history. So God said he made everything in six normal days. So there's everything. So humans didn't live millions of years ago and things like that. So there's Adam and Eve right there at the beginning. But if that's the case, does the Bible tell us when God made T-Rex? Now, I told you we're going to use the Bible to answer these questions. Does the Bible answer these questions? You're wondering, right? Well, does the Bible tell us when God made the land animals? Anybody know? When? Say it right out, you know? What? Day six, yes. Were dinosaurs land animals? So does the Bible tell us when God made dinosaurs? It does, yes, on day six, right along with the rest of the land animals. But people wonder now, Adam would have been afraid of being eaten by a dinosaur. They got big, sharp teeth, and Adam says, yup, they got big, sharp teeth, all right. Well, here's my question. So when God created all the animals, including dinosaurs, what was T-Rex thinking about when he read the menu? Will the Bible tell us that answer? I told you we're going to find answers in the Bible. Was he thinking about this? Maybe this. What was he thinking about? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. Says every beast, how about that includes dinosaurs, right? Every fowl, those are birds, everything that creeps on the earth. You realize they had creeps back then, girls? Yeah, okay. But what? Everything, all the living creatures, they ate green herbs. So this is what T-Rex was thinking about. He was thinking about eating vegetables, right? You boys and girls eat your vegetables, don't you? Oh, T-Rex? No, T-Rex ate his vegetables. Yeah. See, so it's obvious T-Rex was a meat eater. That's what people think. Look at all the big teeth. You know what's obvious to me? He just had big teeth. That's what's really obvious to me. So let me ask this question. What do you think this kind of animal eats? I think, what? He's not, what happened? Yeah, there it is. Okay. What do you think that kind of animal eats? I think he eats anything he wants to, actually. But you know what he is? He's a panda bear. What do panda bears eat? Bamboo, exactly. Do you know what? If you're going to chew on trees, don't you think you'd need to have good-sized teeth? What do you think? I think God made him just to eat what he's supposed to eat. How about this ferocious-looking thing? I think this looks like it could just rip the flesh off your body. This is pretty scary stuff. You know what? I've seen these in Africa. They are big and they are ugly. You know what they are? They're fruit bats. They're big and they certainly are ugly. But what do fruit bats eat? What do fruit bats eat? You guys are smart. How do you know that?
Because it's in their name.
Oh, really?
That's not a fruit bat.
This one's a fruit bat. That looks like a vampire bat. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, I've seen these in Africa, but they really are ugly, though. Yeah, good call there. But yeah, even bears are mostly vegetarian. Did you know that? They don't need to eat meat, but we don't live in a world where bears just eat vegetables, do we? Question is, what happened? Well, what happened was that Adam sinned. He disobeyed God, and because of that, then God cursed all of creation, and now Adam's got to work hard to get food. Now some of the animals became carnivorous. That means they started to eat meat, right? And so sin really changed everything when Adam sinned. And then worst of all, though, when Adam sinned, all of us, we are separated from our Creator. We need a Savior. So that's why God killed the first animal. It was an object lesson, boys and girls. It was when God killed the first animal and put coat of skin on Adam and Eve, it was an object lesson of Jesus Christ. When he died for us, we trust in him. We are clothed in his righteousness. It's not our sins that God sees. God sees Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful, boys and girls? Well, we looked far and wide to try to find a family reunion picture of Adam and Eve, and we finally found it. You think that's true? I'm just kidding you, right? Well, it did say that Adam and Eve had lots of kids, sons and daughters, and the first son was the first murderer. It got worse from there. Finally, God had to say to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then he says, "I'd like you to put a few animals on a boat." And, you know, and is that what Noah's Ark looked like? Oh, as I mentioned this morning, yeah, it was designed like a modern-day barge. It was designed in order to hold all the animals that was needed to be there. But how do you get millions of species of animals on a boat, especially with woodpeckers on that boat? Yeah. Oh, we talked about that a little bit this morning. God didn't put millions of species on the boat, right? Because, see, today we use kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species, don't we? And they're very specialized. But when God created, he created according to kind. So now we understand, like this morning, that all of our dogs go back to a dog type. All of our cats, big ones and little ones, are still what? Yeah, go figure. They're still cats. Exactly right. See, the area of a kind is really in this area of the family. So two from the dog kind, two from the cat kind, two from the horse kind, lots of different kinds. And so at the very most, there was 1,500 different kinds. but that would mean there's only 3,000 animals? No. Remember, the Bible says there was seven of the clean? Okay, who's my Hebrew scholar? Raise your hand. Where's my Hebrew scholar? Okay. Actually, what I've learned is that when it talks about seven, it could not only refer just like seven animals, it could be seven pairs. That's what I've heard the Hebrew could be. Now, I like that better. You know why? I often wonder about the odd guy out. I told you I wonder weird stuff. But if it were seven pairs of the clean and seven pairs of the birds, that was a whole lot of birds, that's going to increase the amount of animals that are on that boat, really. So at the max, it would have been about 7,000 animals on there. So yes, that's why they built that there, to help people understand how they get all the animals on the ark. But did that include dinosaurs? I know what you're thinking. How do you get dinosaurs on a boat? That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? Well, you know what? We know, biology people, that even today, reptiles keep on growing the older they get. They just, thankfully, they just don't live as long. But down in Florida, you can get really, really long, you know, alligators and things like that, right? Well, you know, God would not have chosen great-great-great-great-grandma and grandpa that grew to be three stories tall. How about just young adults, small ones? So you understand that there weren't that many kinds of dinosaurs, just large reptile creatures that eventually grew to be very big. They didn't all
have to be very big, but you understand this. It helps you understand how, yeah, there was plenty of room for all the animals, including dinosaurs. And when you go to the ark, you'll see lots of different dinosaurs in those cages. Anybody been there to see that? That's fun to see that stuff, right? So after the flood, the animals migrated all over the earth, including dinosaurs. And I think they probably sold T-shirts, "I survived the flood." That's what I think. But if that's the case, then people saw dinosaurs, right? Yes, people saw them. Then people would have drawn pictures of them, maybe brag about killing them. You got to be pretty tough to kill a dinosaur. Maybe they put their heads on their living room wall. I think maybe. But if that's the case, then people saw dinosaurs. But what did they call big reptile creatures before even the word dinosaur came up? Anybody know? What? Well, in the Bible, there's a particular kind called behemoth, and there was a leviathan and different other. But the general name for large reptile creature is the dragon. Exactly right. And people say, oh, you believe in that fanciful, mythical dragon? Let's watch this.
There is one creature remembered in the legends of almost every human culture that's ever existed. A creature depicted with remarkable similarity by the Chinese, the Aztecs, even the Inuit, who live in a frozen land where no reptiles are found. Even they have stories of this animal, the dragon. Cultures from different continents, people who had no contact with one another, yet all of them have stories describing the same mythical animal.
What is that?
Could it be these stories were more than myth? What if we discovered that this creature that haunts our imagination had once been real?
Is that true? Well, when did people start believing dragons were mythical? Because people today think they're mythical. But let's go back a little bit to 1910 and look at Encyclopedia Britannica, where they're talking about dragons. Here's what it says. Nor were these dragons anything but real terrors, even in the imagination of the learned until contemporary modern times. As the waste places were cleared, indeed they withdrew farther from the haunts of men. When they're saying they, what are they talking about? Dragons, all right? And then it goes on and says, and in Europe, their last lurking places were in the inaccessible heights of the Alps. Did they believe in dragons at one time? Yeah, they even knew where they went. But eventually, the encyclopedia says, they're relegated to the realm of myth. But if people really did see them, you'd expect that people would do carvings like this and talk about killing them, like these. There are many accounts in Europe of people encountering large reptile creatures and killing them. And as the video says, yeah, China's big on dragons. Marco Polo went over there and wrote in his book about how people raised dragons to use them to pull the royal chariots for the royal parades. Now, I don't know about you, but what do you think, boys and girls? Wouldn't you have to have a pretty good-sized lizard to pull a chariot? Yeah, you see, these were not just little lizards. He talked about dragons that, well, we would expect to say, yeah, what were they? Yeah, people did pictures on rocks and clay pictures. These are 2,000 years old from Mexico, just like you'd expect if they really did see them. Here's a 12th century temple in Cambodia. On the relief, there's a deer-like creature up here. Then there's a monkey down here. But what's he pointing at? What does that look like? Anybody tell me? All right, who can tell me what that is? A stegosaurus, exactly. It's got the steggy things on its back. Did you know that, kids? Right, that's what a stegosaurus is. Not a T-Rex, right? Stegosaurus, yeah. In other words, people did see these. They did get off the ark. They did see them. Oh, they're not around now, but there's interesting things that are helping people to understand. They didn't die off millions of years ago. Recently, they found inside T-Rex bones. They looked in there, and they found soft tissue. Look at that, boys and girls. You know what you're looking at? You are looking at T-Rex flesh. Sure, they died off millions of years ago. Now, you see, there's some good observational evidence that shows, no, the dinosaurs didn't die millions and millions of years ago. But the question we have to ask is, what happened to the dinosaurs? That's a mystery, isn't it? People wonder that. They've got all kinds of ideas of what happened. Here's one that's going around. I don't know if it's true. What do you think? Is this one true? Have you heard of the two-ark hypothesis where there was... Do you think that one's true, kids? No, I don't think that one's true, right? But some people think, they got indigestion and they died, or they ate too much. Now, they took one of those diets on TV, like the fad diets. You got to watch out for those. No, it was the asteroid. No, maybe it wasn't the asteroid. Maybe they all turned into birds. They don't have a clue what happened to the dinosaurs. But I know what happened to the dinosaurs. It's not a mystery to me. Maybe this is why you came to hear this, because I know. Are you ready, boys and girls? Did you always want to know what happened to the dinosaurs? I've got the answer. Look at me. I've got the answer. Here it is. They died. Don't animals go extinct all the time? Did the dodo bird go extinct? Yeah. How about the woolly mammoth and the Tasmanian tiger? You see, in other words, they did get on the ark. They did get off the ark. People saw them. They drew pictures of them. Eventually, they died off. At least we think all of them died off. You see, when you start with the Bible as the real authority and let the Bible tell us about dinosaurs, dinosaurs do not have to be a mystery at all. Why? Because we have the real history of the universe. Are you with me on that? We have the real history of the universe. So it's not only dinosaurs that confuse an awful lot of people and cause people to not want to believe the Bible, but it's the idea of aliens. Now, sometimes when I bring up this topic, I get some chuckles out there. Now, do you realize that some of the greatest scientific minds of the day are promoting the idea that aliens exist? People that believe in ETs, that they're visiting this earth, they really believe that, they outnumber Bible-believing Christians in America 3-1. You think we ought to talk about it a little bit? It's becoming like a religion, isn't it? So we're going to have to deal with this just a little bit. So many people think that the truth is out there. Well, you have to understand that for over 100 years, people have been fed this idea that there are aliens and other planets, and they just might be coming down to our Earth. So let's start going back just a little bit to the turn of the century, the last turn of the century, where there was a man named Percival Lowell, who was an astronomer, and he looked at through the telescope and looked at Mars and saw what he thought were canals on Mars, and it was written up in the papers that Professor Lowell, recognized as the greatest authority on the subject, declares there can be no doubt that living beings inhabit our neighbor world. New York Times says, Mars inhabited, says Professor Lowell. Los Angeles Times, scientists now declare. You got to be careful when the paper and the news says science now declares, right? Yeah. Because, science never says anything, but scientists say things, and scientists have beliefs. You got that? Science never says a thing. Scientists say things, and scientists have beliefs. So they really believed that, yep, it's got to be true that there's Martians out there. Because of that, this just became part of culture in the United States. This is where you get Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, Superman, the comic books, and things like that. Flash forward just a little bit to 1938, where H.G. Wells did a radio broadcast called the War of the Worlds, and people thought it was real. And there were mass stampedes and suicides. And why is that? Here they said, radio fake scares the nation. Nation is swept by hysteria over a Martian invasion. Why did people go into hysteria? Well, for 30 years, they were fed a lie that Mars has aliens in it. And all you have to do is just tell them that they've come to this Earth and people will just go berserk because they really believe that is true. Well, during this time,
That's where you get the War of the Worlds and all these type of movies going on. Flash a little bit forward to 1947, where a civilian aviator, pilot, saw some unusual objects in the sky. And he saw them going very fast. And he told the newspaper at one time, they look like saucers. The newspaper picked up on that and called them what? Flying saucers. That's where the first came from, the flying saucers. The same year, you've got the famous Roswell incident where there was a flying saucer supposedly crashed out there. And, of course, the government has covered it up and things like that. You have to understand, this is Cold War time, so I'm not going to get into all the details there. But by the 1950s, the term UFO came along, unidentified flying objects. So then anything that was in the sky flying that you didn't know what it was automatically what? It's aliens! Right? Anything you don't understand is in the sky. A UFO is aliens. Is that true? No, just because you don't know what it is, it doesn't mean it's aliens, but you know, that's the way people did. Well, you've got the also the Area 51. Great a place interest during the Cold War time. A lot of testing of the Nighthawk and the Blackbird, often mistaken for aliens out there. And during the 1950s, a whole lot of movies on UFOs and aliens. By you get to the 60s, people are talking about being abducted by aliens. It's just coming into mainstream. And then you've got TV shows like about aliens and more movies on aliens. And then it goes from science fiction into real life, where the government gets involved in the SETI project, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, and they're listening for radio waves. They spent millions of dollars on it. Did they ever hear anything? No, they didn't, right? Well, during the same time, the 70s, for the Voyager satellite, they put a gold record that had all kinds of information about who we are, where to come back and find us, and yeah, if they really existed, would you really do that? But they did that, right? 1980s, more movies on aliens, and you get into the 90s, TV shows on aliens and movies on aliens. You got to understand, for over 100 years, generation after generation after generation, they're continually accepting the fact, well, science says it's a fact that the aliens exist. They've really brainwashed one culture after another. Now, why can't we see evidence for alien life? Well, people wonder that. Has anybody know? Why? We haven't explored far enough. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Now, that was the explanation of why we never did hear them. We need to explore out farther. It's not that they don't exist. We just haven't explored out farther. Well, why don't we have evidence for them? Because there is no tangible evidence for aliens. Not one shred of physical evidence you can actually put your hand on. And right. Okay, but people still believe it, and so now what's going on? Well, they're using telescopes to go out there and look for planets that could have aliens on it, and some of the greatest scientific minds are talking about this. Let me just give you a couple of them.
We have identified 4,000 planets orbiting other stars. We now believe that there could be over a billion Earth-like planets in our backyard. In the galaxy, and to assume that we're the only game in town, I think is a little bit presumptuous.
So it's a little presumptuous to think we're the only living things in where there's billions of planets out there, right? Another one.
If life is an inevitable consequence of complex chemistry, then if life happened here on Earth, why couldn't it happen elsewhere?
Do you see the connection with evolution? Is life an inevitable consequence of complex chemistry? Is it? Not from all our observation. From all of our observation about life, we understand life never comes all by itself. Life only comes from life itself. That's a law called the law of biogenesis. You've heard of that, right? And so, no, life isn't an inevitable consequence. But if you don't want to believe in God, then you got to believe it must have evolved. So the point is, if billions of years, if there's billions of Earth-like planets out there, if life evolved here, it must have evolved out there. They're saying it's a mathematical, you know, proof that aliens must exist. Do they got any tangible evidence for it? No, they just want to believe it. Right? So recently, the big news has been what?
Well, much of the media have mocked the existence of unidentified flying objects. The U.S. Pentagon has been studying this subject for quite a long time, and apparently will soon release some of its findings, which remain classified.
And they did that not long ago. They released everything that they know, right? But they did actually tell us a couple things. They changed the word from UFO to UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. All right. So, but what's noteworthy, for the first time ever, the government finally did recognize the existence of something they don't understand that could be a threat to our security. Before, it's always been nothing to see here, folks, just your imagination, right? Right. First time. Well, not long ago, actually, just a few days ago, the Pentagon had to release 1,500 pages of secret documents about the shadowy UFO programs, and one of the things that was revealed is their blatant, outright blind faith, because they say the SETI project was a failure because they just haven't looked out far enough. You got to understand, with that kind of blind faith, that opens people up to a tremendous amount of potential of deception, when people just are willing to believe anything without tangible evidence. Actually, people are thinking that we're going to have alien encounters sometime soon. And just this year, NASA was recruiting clergy from around the country to help their congregations to deal with when aliens come and we find out that they're really true. Right? Do they? Yeah, they're preparing us for something. That's what they think. And part of that 1,500 pages was their thinking: once aliens are actually disclosed on this earth, it's going to destroy religions all around the world. It could really tear down the fabric of society. So we need to prepare for this to come. Well, it's TV shows like this. They're like evangelistic campaigns. Anybody seen the History Channel, UFO Hunters? Things like that, or Ancient Aliens. You know, I talk to a lot of Christians. They watch these things, and they get just sucked right up into it. Well, science says. Here's just a little idea what you might get from that.
FOXP2 is a gene that was found in our nucleotides, and it is something that sets us completely apart from any other animal. And scientists have suggested that gene alone is responsible for language. And there is absolutely no evidence of origin, or that this thing somehow mutated from the animal kingdom towards us. So this gene exists out of nowhere.
Oh, out of nowhere.
Without any origin.
Oh, my goodness.
So my question is it possible that this gene was given to us or grafted into us by extraterrestrials in the remote past? And the answer is yes.
Have you ever heard of this idea? You haven't. Oh, it's very popular. It's called panspermia. In other words, that life was seeded here on this planet. The reason why, folks, here's the reason. You have to understand, if you're a biologist, you understand that life, every single cell is so complex. The more they learn about a single cell, the more they realize it just couldn't have evolved all by itself on this earth. So they're looking for something else. Either they're going to go, well, it must be God. Well, if you don't want to believe in God because you don't want to obey God, you got to go to something else. It must be aliens did it. Or the idea that it hitched a ride on the back of an asteroid and then hit on Earth, and then, the aliens actually came and seeded life here. Well, this is what you see on science fiction movies a lot. Mission to Mars. Here's what happened. The Martian explaining to us how we got here.
before the continents separated.
All right, here you go, boys and girls. Evolution before your eyes.
My God, that's it. Hundreds of millions of years ago, there was a sudden explosion of life on Earth. The first multi-celled plants and animals appeared. No one has ever understood why or how it happened.
Well, there you have the answer. That's how we got here. Aliens seeded us. And so the question is, why are people so eager to want to believe in aliens? Well, folks, we are all created in the image of God. And we all want to answer certain questions like, who am I? Where did I come from? Is there any hope for this world? And what the idea of aliens does, it gives a false answer. You take away God's word, you get a false answer. Like, who am I? Am I just an evolving animal? Is there any hope for this world? Well, maybe the aliens will come down and give us a peace and prosperity. You know, maybe they'll be like this. Maybe like Independence Day. Well, they'll come down and try to destroy Earth, and that will unify all the Earth together, and we'll fight against the aliens, and then we'll have world peace, like Ronald Reagan said.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Yeah, that's a hope. Or maybe the aliens will be like Star Trek aliens. They'll teach us to cure diseases with a that would be wonderful. Or maybe they'll be like Superman that will take all the nuclear weapons and destroy them, and we'll have world peace. Or maybe the aliens will lead us into a new spiritual awakening where we're going to evolve more and more. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why people have hope that aliens exist, because don't we want to have hope? But we know it's in Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you'll turn to anything. Right? Here's one more.
The world we live in is actually a world created by aliens. If it wasn't for the aliens, we'd still be monkeys or apes. The aliens came down and mixed their DNA up with the DNA of a monkey or an ape. Also, they came down from the sky and they made people think that they were gods when actually they were just aliens. But they are our creator.
Anybody heard this before? Oh yeah, it's very, very prominent. This goes back not long ago when I was younger. Von Daniken and Chariots of the Gods. Let's give you another one.
UFOlogist Dr. Barry Downing is one of many people who believe that aliens have visited Earth and influenced our history and religions for millennia. Browning is also a Presbyterian minister, and he argues that the divine events depicted in the Bible are in fact evidence of extraterrestrial technologies that were misinterpreted by early humans. In fact, Browning goes so far as to say that Jesus Christ was actually an alien.
All right. Chariots of the Gods talked about how Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel, that was aliens, and all this stuff in the Bible that was just depicting that. See, aliens came down at one time, at different times, and then people mistook them. Oh, these must be gods, and they worshipped, and they did miracles and things like that. And this is where we got all the world religions from. What do you think will happen when people find out they're really just aliens? What will that do to all the world religions, especially Christianity? You see, this is the atheist dream. Once people realize that Jesus was an alien, then you can get rid of all those nasty Christians that stubbornly hold those things, and they'll all become atheists. That's what this movie was all about. I mean, here's a Christian, staunch creation Christian that is converted to atheism because she met an alien. Go back here.
It's a nice t-shirt.
Oh, thanks. I got it at my church.
It's Jesus shooting Charles Darwin.
Why would Jesus want to shoot Charles Darwin?
Because of his blasphemous theories.
Yeah.
Are you men of God?
We're men of science. You know, we believe in the establishment of a biological order through the maelstrom of physical and chemical chaos.
The world is 4,000 years old and can only be the product of intelligent design.
See, she really believes that, right? And but what? Somebody says.
All right, well then, please explain how something as complex as the human eye simply just comes into being.
It didn't just come into being. It is the combination of billions of years of development across countless species.
What are you talking about?
Evolution, baby.
Oh, blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
Nothing that you can say you can shake
you
my belief.
You do realize
perfect.
That you're not.
In the short and certain knowledge that God made heaven and earth and created us all in his own image.
Oh, his own image. Well, I got a question. How do you explain me? She's going. She's fine. Catch me.
Well, she meets an alien, and what happens eventually? Well, here's what happens to her.
So everything that I have been told my whole life is just a big fat lie. No hell, no right, no wrong, no sin.
What happened to her? Yep. See, that's their fantasy. Once people learn that aliens exist, to take all those silly Christians and they'll realize everything they've learned is one big fat lie. Well, maybe you're wondering, what does the Bible say about aliens? That's why you're here, correct? Well, what does the Bible say about aliens? Actually, absolutely nothing. The Bible doesn't have anything to do with say about aliens. There's nothing in there about other life that lives on other planets that might be coming down to Earth. But let's take a look and see what the scripture does say about this type of thing. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing them to be wise, they became fools. People that don't want to believe in God are willing to believe anything. And it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. So let's take a look at the atheist story. Billions of years ago, a big bang, right? And then there's all these stars that form and things like that. If they there's all these stars and planets out there, then life must be out there. But what does scripture say? Well, God says he made the earth first. But they say that, well, earth is just a speck out there amongst all the millions of other planets out there. So if life evolved here, it must have evolved out there. So what we're going to do, we're not going to start with man's ideas and put it in the Bible. We're going to start with what God says. We're going to use the real history of the universe. What does God say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made the earth first. Then it wasn't until day four he put the planets and the sun out there. The point is, Earth was created first. Earth is unique. Why is it? Because this is where God was going to put his image bearers. Something that would stick out in all the whole universe. God himself, but he put people on this planet that would reflect the glory of God. He placed image bearers there. And now one of the things that makes us stick out from animals is that image bearers can think and we can create things, and animals can't do that. There's a big difference. But if there really are aliens on other planets smart enough to make spacecraft to come all the way to Earth, I guess they would have to be image bearers as well. Well, the thing is, God created his image bearers on this Earth. And then what happened? Well, God's image bearers sinned. Adam sinned, and because of that, then the sin of Adam was through not only the whole earth, but all of creation. Because we know that through one man, sin entered the world and death by sin. And then it goes on and says, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. In other words, the curse is upon all of creation. And so if there are aliens out there, are they under the curse as well? They certainly are. Could Jesus Christ die for aliens? Now, you got to realize the Pope is already prepared and everything to baptize the aliens once they come down. I'm not kidding you, okay? They're all ready for that. But, see, it was one man's sin that brought death to the world, Adam's sin. So we had to have, what, somebody from Adam's race to come down, right? Somebody from Adam's race, but God himself, born in Adam's race. So that's why we have the genealogies that go from Jesus back there. So there's only one way for salvation, is that God himself took on human flesh related to Adam to suffer and die just for the race of Adam. Can aliens be saved? Hell, there's no room for aliens beside. When Jesus comes back, he's coming where? One place, this earth. So when you start with what God's word says, really, is there any room for aliens out there? No, I hope you understand that. Biblically, there's no room for other intelligent image bearers out there that Christ would have to die for. Right? So when somebody asks you, do you believe in aliens? Do you know what I just did? I used the idea of aliens to share the gospel from creation all the way to the second coming. How's that for a springboard for the gospel message? But people still want to believe it.
We recently showed you that footage that was released by the Pentagon that showed unidentified flying objects. For many of us, it was confirmation of something we've long expected, that there are aliens flying around, some perhaps living amongst us. I think there's no question that there's other life that we haven't discovered. The universe is so vast, it's the height of arrogance to think that we are the only life form out there.
Wow, is it really the height of arrogance to think that? I think Barack Obama was asked if he believed in aliens, and he said one thing. It's interesting, it wouldn't change my politics one way or the other if they do or not. Why? Because he said, my entire politics is premised on the fact that we are these tiny organisms on this little speck floating in the middle of space. In other words, are we these tiny organisms on this little speck floating in the middle of space, or are we in the image of God created with amazing value and eternal purpose? There's the difference, folks. Grasp a hold of that. But this topic would not be complete if I didn't talk about UFOs. See, in the movies, they are so crisp and clear, but really what you only have is just grainy pictures. So let's talk about actually what the scientists tell us, that 95% of all the it's got to be aliens. 95% is natural phenomena. Why? People have conditioned for 100 years or more to think anything in the sky they don't understand is automatically aliens. 95% of those, they're just natural phenomena. What about the 5%? Well, actually, we do have classified crafts that are supposed to not exist. Triangle crafts like this. Here's an actual U.S. military patent for a triangular craft. Maybe this is why we're seeing things like this. It's got to be an alien, right? Or this. It's got to be, no, you see, just experimental crafts that we all know about it. But occasionally, these sightings, they're genuinely unexplained. Now, they still could be crafts that we don't want to talk about, or that Russia and China have and things like that. But here's what people are thinking. They are behaving not normal, not according to normal laws of physics. They're going faster than the speed of sound, and they make a right angle, stop, start right back up again. They seem to defy the laws of physics. So what must they be? Well, people are thinking that they're acting like extra-dimensional beings, crafts. Now, notice, no tangible evidence you can actually put your finger on. Realize that, okay, first of all. But because they have these photographs, they must be extra-dimensional. And do you know what I'm talking about, extra-dimensional? Modern movies are talking about this. See, some scientists are kicking around the idea that there are multiple realities. This universe is just one of many universes, and wormholes will take us from one universe to another. Folks, this is just mind games. It's just science fiction. But, so people are convinced, though, that The reason why these crafts don't obey the laws of physics, because they're from another dimension. All right, again, we're going to start with what God's word says and try to explain it. All right, biblically, let me just throw this out, but think about it. Does the Bible talk about beings that are not from this physical universe? Does the Bible talk about beings that are not from this physical universe? From another spiritual reality, perhaps, that actually come and dip into our physical universe, and then they can defy the laws of physics. Is that true? It is. Who would that be? Angels did that. Demons, they can do that. Exactly right. Let's see what the Bible does say about Satan and demons. It says, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Got to understand, he is a deceiver. And what else? And marvel not, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Ephesians says he's the prince and power of the air. 2 Thessalonians says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders with all deceivableness. This is what's going to happen in the end times. There's going to be deception. Luke says that, talks about fearful signs and great signs shall there be from heaven. And of course, Revelation says that Satan is the deceiver. Is it possible that Satan might be doing just enough deception here and there just to keep the narrative going, just enough to prepare us for a big deception down the line? Now, I'm going to share something else with you. Do you realize that the idea of alien abductions really has an awful lot of characteristic of demonic activity? Not long ago, even today in other cultures, if somebody had an experience like this, people would immediately know we're talking about demons. But we live in a secular culture where they know demons don't exist. So what's the only alternative? It's got to be aliens. Now, there are people that spend their life documenting the accounts of these people having these experiences. And they find one thing. It's very interesting. They don't understand. They find that the aliens that are supposedly abduct people, they don't like Christians. Okay. Bible-believing Christians never have any alien abduction experiences. They can't figure that out. Of course, if it really is demonic, we know why. Why? Well, because the blood of Jesus protects us. They cannot touch us. Right? So it's just something to think about. What's happening is that these people that have alien abduction experiences, they're coming back and saying, the aliens told us things. Told us things like what? All religions lead to heaven. Jesus was an alien. We want what's best for humanity. We've come to help you. We are here to help humanity evolve into, they're telling us all these things. My goodness, why would there be other intelligent life out there, build spacecraft to come clear across the galaxy just to tell us lies and trash Jesus Christ? It makes sense, huh? Unless they're not aliens. They're really something else deceiving people, like 2 Timothy says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines, teachings of devils. Well, you realize, when the disciples asked Jesus what would be the sign of his coming, what's the first thing he said? Take heed that no man deceive you. So I can't tell you for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that Satan is doing a little bit of a deception to lead us to a big deception. I highly think it's likely. But what I do know for sure, that this is an alternate belief, is designed to defame Jesus Christ and lead people away from Scripture. Don't be deceived. So be careful when you look at these evangelistic campaigns for UFOs. And if someday, if NASA or the Pentagon comes down and says, the aliens have come down and they come down to help us and they bring out the best scientists to back it up, do not be deceived, folks. Don't be deceived. You see, whether it's dinosaurs or aliens, it doesn't have to be a mystery. We don't have to be deceived by either one. Why? We already have the truth. It's not out there. We have the truth of Jesus Christ. We have the real history of the world. It is God's plan to create image bearers, put us on this earth. We sin, but he made a plan to redeem us and then come and bring us back into fellowship with him. There's no such thing as aliens, but we do have the truth. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much for your attention. Okay, all right.
Okay, I'm going to put him on the spot. I didn't rehearse this. Has anybody got any questions?
Stump the speaker time.
Stump the speaker.
That's all right. I'll try, do my best.
Okay, here's your challenge.
Oh boy, there she is. Yeah, you're exactly right. The people believe in also not only aliens, but the supernatural, like ghosts and things like that. Do you realize those 1,500 pages from the Pentagon, it did talk about elves, ghosts, those types of things in connection? Yeah, I don't have time to get into everything, but you're exactly right. Demonic, what it is.
True.
Yeah.
True, true. Okay, has it been a good day or what? Perfect, huh?
Not something you'd learn in church very much, huh?
It's it was perfect for the day.
Thank
it
you
really
much.
It was. We needed this. We need this. I think we've talked about this at our church.
You have.
That okay. We're under attack and we're not well loved in the world at large. So
yeah.
This was good. Denny.
You can pick up one of our cards, go to our personal website, and that will send you to the website of the different Answers in Genesis, Reasons for Hope, Institute for Creation Research. We don't get anything on that. We just point you where you can get the things. Here, there's no tax or shipping. And
you'll be at the table for a little bit,
and
right?
I'll be there. I'll answer questions for you there at the table.
Okay. So we did not say anything about a love offering. The church did, in fact, pay Bob and Lois for being here today. But if you would like to add to your love and thankfulness, you're welcome to write a check to...
Oh, Creation's Hope. That's fine.
Creation's Hope. And you could just give it to them at the table. In Creation's Hope, if you want to write something or already did to First Baptist Church, we then will get that to them.
Okay, thank you, Pastor.
However you like that. Yes, Jerry.
Yes, I am, and I'm thinking about doing a talk on that. That's the next step of evolution, is really connecting us all to the transhumanism, the idea of mixing humans with technology and connecting us all together in the web, and we'll all be connected together. And I'm sorry, I can't hear.
Say that again.
A few nights ago, I was Getter, Rumble, one of those, had a female on there, looked just for all the world like a lady, but it was one of these transhumanist things.
Yeah.
And they were talking back and forth, and they asked her if there was any difference between her and the lady standing beside her. She said, yes, I have no soul.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. That's interesting. AI and also transhumanism mixing biology, human biology with technology. That's the next step. It's pretty scary stuff. Yeah, I didn't get into that.
Oh, there's one right there.
Yes, sir.
Brother Bob, what would you tell us fathers in the light of all of this?
I would say teach the real history of the universe in chronological order. Help them to understand that this is true. Answer the little questions that come up. Radiometric dating, things like that, because you've got some resources, but yet help the next generation be convinced that this is the truth because we're under attack. Thank you much. Yep.
Okay. Over here you got one.
Yes. question. Oh, good, because the earth was, why does it say the earth was without form and void? Right? There's a lot of people in the past with the gap theory said, well, that means that the earth, God created the earth, and then it was destroyed and something happened. Now it's without form and void. Okay. Well, what does that actually mean? What is it? The first, it says that the earth was covered with water. All right. In other words, there's no form to it. The water fills the form of it, right? It's covered with water. There's no form. Was it full of sea life? And no, it was empty. That's what the word void means, empty. So he's describing what it was like on the very first day. It was covered with water, and it didn't have any form, and it was empty. But we're going to go on to the next day, and the next day, and the next day. That's what that means. It's not a recreation of any kind or anything like that. That makes sense? The first answer book, the red answer book, has a whole chapter on the gap theory and things like that, and it'll deal with that in more detail. That's as far as I can go with that right now. But good question, though. Very common. Oh, here.
Another question on creation.
Okay.
Angels
are created by God, yes. Yeah, that's not clear, except we find out that in 6 days, God made everything. So get the idea that they weren't around millions of years before, that they were a regular creation during creation time. And then you've got what happened. We don't know how long after God put Adam and Eve on this earth, but eventually one of those big angels rebelled against God and took some of the angels with them, and then they were cast to this earth. So I'm under the impression it was during creation time, just because that's when God made everything. I could be wrong, but
I'll add to that. I believe it was early in creation. We're not told when,
yeah.
And we only know what God chose to disclose to us. But he does say in the book of Job that when God was doing some of his creations, that the angels cheered. I'm not sure what chapter that is in Job, but the angels cheered when God was speaking things into existence. So I would suggest it was early in creation.
Right. Can't be dogmatic. It's just one of those things. Anybody else?
Thanks for letting me hang you out there to dry.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you coming in there to help me out. Yeah.
Okay. So he'll be at his table, but I would like to just pray over you.
Thank you much.
And then you guys are allowed to just go mingle and talk to him and check out the resources.
All right.
Father, I thank you for Bob and Lois's ministry. It is very timely. We desperately need this in our walk of faith. And it seems like we're accumulating enemies of the cross, trying to make Jesus go away, trying to make the cross go away, trying to make really all of your creation go away, and men are creating things in their own minds. So I'm going to ask your special blessing on Bob as he goes from church to church or venue to venue and continues to share a lot of this. I pray that you give him a continued strength for it, continue to meet his needs financially, continue to meet his health needs so he can move forward with it, continue to give him new insights into the scriptures, and into how to share the truth so that it would constantly draw people into the truth. Thank you for the ministry that he has and how he ministered to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you guys. Thank you.